I think there's a story in the Bible about some people wanting to build a tent and just stay there and worship God. That's kind of how I feel about this worship service today. But I have to preach. Can you imagine your relatives or your friends from, say, 50 or 100 years ago having the opportunity to visit you today and experience the modern world? What do you think would impress them the most? Well, I asked Google that question, and it gave me some interesting answers. The internet said that the thing that would impress them the most is the internet itself. And it also gave this one. It said that number two was cell phones. So just imagine the ability to be able to instantly communicate around the globe and to get directions to the grocery store and to get limitless information off of that little device in our pockets. And then it moved on to medical devices and transportation conveniences, etc. It's hard to even imagine what the world is going to be like 50 to 100 years from now, isn't it? But I also think those distant relatives might have a jaw-dropping moment when they see how much you and I have grown to love speed. I'm not talking about drugs. I'm not talking about cars. I'm talking about basic things like instant coffee, the microwave, shopping through Amazon, same-day delivery, tap to pay, speed. Now, many of us have slowed down as we've aged. I haven't, but you have. But we still love to see and use most of those conveniences. We've grown accustomed to them. They've become a lifestyle for us, a habit. And with that in mind, there are some things about the various ways that God works in our lives that are very different from what I've just described. Yes, he can be instant. God can do it whatever he wants to. But in contrast, God often, maybe usually, works very differently. He is the master of the slow burn. God often takes time to do things. Slow burn. Have you ever started a campfire? You know, you gather the wood and you stack the wood and you get it all just right, and then you get the kindling under it and you light the kindling and it goes up in flames rather quickly. But the wood, it takes some time for that thing to start burning and to get to all the right conditions and finally reach full maturity. It takes time to come to full maturity. And that's how God often works in our lives. His goal is to bring us into a spiritual maturity that's pleasing to him. And that usually takes the slow burn approach. Here's just one example from the Bible, James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be, here it comes, mature. Let it finish its work so that you may be what God wants you to be, spiritually mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, if you're going through any trials right now in your life, any testing, any slow burn, maybe it's because God has something very special for you to bring you into spiritual maturity. You may say, Harry, I'm old. I am mature. No, you're not. Correction. No, we are not. We are not. I don't know the origin of this old country expression, but it goes like this. God ain't done with me yet. And although the grammar sticks, the theology is correct. God ain't done with us yet. Never will be. He will be eventually. It comes from Paul's words in Philippians. He said this, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." For how long? Until the day of Christ Jesus. We've got a ways to go. You may have a long history of attending church. Show of hands, no, I'm just teasing. But you may have a long history of attending church. You may even have a long history of growing up in Sunday school. Maybe you taught Sunday school. Maybe you served on a church committee. Or maybe you sang in the choir. Or maybe you attended a Billy Graham crusade as a counselor. Maybe you attended Bible studies. Or maybe you even led Bible studies. Yet all of those Christian activities may still leave you like an infant in terms of spiritual maturity. Paul described it this way to the Christians in Ephesus. He said, "You can be like infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind and teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming." In other words, each of us may need more time, more slow burn, even more challenges in order to get out of our spiritual diapers. Listen to these powerful words of admonition. They come from 1 Peter chapter 2. "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted the goodness of the Lord." Have you ever even thought that that verse could apply to you? I mean, you are a seasoned saint. Surely God doesn't look to you like a newborn baby. You know, I have known some young Christians who've hardly begun their Christian journey who showed remarkable maturity in Jesus Christ. I'll bet you have too. And I have known some elders on the boards of large churches who act like toddlers throwing temper tantrums in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'll bet some of you have experienced that as well. How do you know when you're mature in Jesus Christ? How do you know? Well, here's one answer. It may not be the only answer. It may not be the best answer, but I'm going to submit to you that this may be all you need, at least to get started. It's found in Galatians 5 in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." The fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life are a great way to measure the depth of your spiritual maturity. Now, to oversimplify it, let's put it this way. When you yield your life to God's Holy Spirit, your selfish desires will diminish. Basic Christianity. When you yield your life to God's Holy Spirit, your selfish desires will diminish. Your love for God and your love for others and your obedience to God's word will increase. Of course, you and I are always going to be selfish. But it's fairly easy to see that the Spirit transforms people and their selfishness becomes less and less. And like all of the things we've been talking about, it doesn't happen quickly. It takes time, time with God, because He ain't finished with us yet. Jesus even took 30 years to get ready for the 3 years of ministry that He had. It takes time. So let's talk about those nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you've examined them before, but let's talk about them. This is not a deep theological dive into these fruits, but it's a basic look at what a mature Christian should be. And the first one is love. We've all experienced it. And we all know that there are different kinds of love, and we could talk about it from many different angles. But let's focus on it this way. Christian love is about giving yourself to someone else and their greatest needs the way Jesus did. And mature Christian love is about your giving more than you receive. Huh. That's a mouthful right there, isn't it? The next one is joy. The world might say joy is a feeling. Joy is having fun. The Bible says joy is to be content and full of peace no matter what the circumstances. That's a big difference. You can see it in someone's eyes when they have spiritual joy. Look at me. I'm looking at your eyes, brothers and sisters. You can see it in someone's eyes when they have spiritual joy. You can hear it in what they say. You can hear it in how they say it. In contrast, we've all been around others, including Christians, who just always seem to have some kind of a cloud over their heads following them around. And they bring gloom and doom into almost every situation. And we all get gloomy sometimes, of course, but some Christians make that a lifestyle. They just need to grow up in Christ. Have you ever known anybody like that? The third fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. The Greek word that's used here talks about peace in our hearts and peace in our relationships. I'm pausing to let that sink in. Your heart and your relationships. Jesus told his disciples that they should have peace even when things are rough. And then he told them why. Do you remember what he said in John 16? He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Thank God for that. Brothers and sisters, regardless of your age, regardless of our ages, we have lots to learn about that. And it's never too late because God ain't finished with us yet. I should have named this sermon, God Ain't Finished With Us Yet. Okay, the next one is forbearance. That's the NIV translation of the word. I prefer other translations of the word patience. When some of you were following me earlier and I saw you mouthing the words to the fruits, I saw patience coming out rather than forbearance. I need a whole sermon on this one. Who wants to preach now? The world sees patience as waiting passively. God's word sees patience differently. God's word sees patience as actively enduring trials and delays and other frustrations without complaining. Holy mackerel. Without complaining. God, help us grow in that kind of patience. The next, we have love, joy, peace, patience, and then let's put the next two together, kindness and goodness. The reason I'm putting them together is because the Greek word, tov, can be translated both ways. kindness, and goodness. They overlap a little bit. You do not have to be a Christian to show acts of kindness and goodness. And of course, that goes for the other fruits of the Holy Spirit as well. But it is clearly visible in a mature Christian because they will naturally show kindness and goodness to people, including people whom they may not even think deserve it. I'm glad I can't read your minds right now because names are probably going through your minds right now. Did you deserve the grace that you received through Jesus Christ? No. Nobody deserves it. Nobody. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. No one deserves it. And you and I are surrounded by irritating people for whom it is difficult to show kindness and goodness. But when you are spiritually mature in the Lord, it will come naturally, not begrudgingly. How are you doing with that one? What about number 7, faithfulness? We're not talking about having faith in God here. We're talking about submitting to God and following Him regardless. Submitting to Him and following Him regardless. I don't know what you have going on in your life right now, but it needs to be submitted to God and you need to follow Him. The best example of that is the prayer that Jesus offered to His Father in Gethsemane, "Not my will, but yours be done." Not my will. The next one is gentleness. You know, God is revealed to us as all-powerful in the Bible, and we sang some powerful hymns this morning about that. But He's also depicted as being gentle, like a bird covering its young with its feathers, and like a shepherd carrying a lamb close to his heart. I'm reminded of one of Bill Gaither's old songs, "The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows." Nobody can write songs like Bill and Gloria Gaither. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and finally, self-control. Have you ever known a bride who would starve herself to death before the wedding just so she could get into her dress? Self-control. Well, your big day is coming too, because you are the bride of Christ and you're getting ready for the wedding banquet in heaven someday. The closer you get to that prize, the more self-control you're going to need, whatever that means in your life. And if you haven't learned that already, then you still have some growing to do. And it may require a slow burn. It may require a slow burn. I close with these beautiful words from 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." May it be so. May it be so. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, You know the strengths and the weaknesses of every person here. You know where we are on the path of growing in spiritual maturity. You know when we are ready to be transported into Your glory. And You know when we have more to learn. You ain't finished with us. And so, Lord, may we be open vessels to You. May we receive whatever You bring. And know that You are helping us be who You want us to be so that we will be like Him. Hallelujah. May there be more Jesus in us In his name we pray. Amen.